How do you tell the story of the Louisiana coast?
Once upon a time, there was a beautiful wetland ecosystem thriving with native plant species and crawfish and shrimp and gators. And then the Europeans came and industries started popping up and canals were dug and there were cuts made in the marsh, and suddenly instead of it being a thriving ecosystem, it was more of a resource to be extracted. And now there's a mighty group of people working to bring it back to its former glory.
I'm Eve Abrams. This is Wetlands Radio, a series about coastal restoration. Over the past year, I've asked people to tell me the story of Louisiana's coast, where we are now, how we got here, and what we're doing about it. This series is the answer to those questions, told in 12 episodes. We're going to start with where we are now, but the answer to what we're doing about it is rather astonishing, because Louisiana is doing a lot. In fact, learning that Louisiana is a leader in coastal restoration is an animating reason for Wetlands Radio. We'll get into that later in the series, and also how that hard-won expertise is currently imperiled. But for now, episode one, football fields. One thing most of us know about our coast, it's disappearing, and for the most part, gradually. So the loss can be hard to picture.
It's happening literally grain by grain. So sand grain by sand grain or silt grain by silt grain.
Jacqueline Richard is a geologist. She teaches this stuff.
And those grains are so small, you don't think about, well, how is a sand grain going to hurt me, right? But when we think about how many sand grains move every minute, every hour,
it's helpful to picture something. To use a metaphor, one you've likely heard a lot.
So on average, we lose about a football field of land every 100 minutes.
A football field.
A football field.
Of a football field per hour or per 100 minutes.
Roughly a football field every 100 minutes.
That last voice belongs to Joe Weibel, who works for the Coastal Protection and Restoration Authority.
Now that is down from what it used to be of a football field every hour. So we have seen a reduction in the land loss rate. Part of that is because of the work we're doing.
The ways Louisiana is slowing land loss down and building land back.
And part of it is a lot of our most vulnerable areas have, you know, already sunk beneath the waters.
In other words, the land that's easiest to lose, we've already lost it. A football field every 100 minutes helps us picture the enormity of the land loss and how it keeps happening. But there are other losses this metaphor can't convey. Because these aren't empty fields we're losing. They're home to all sorts of life, built by the Mississippi River, which people have been trying to control for about as long as Europeans have been on this continent. But Alda Vernay, retired paleontologist, pegs the most consequential meddling to a century ago.
So in 1926, it started raining in the fall and pretty much didn't stop until spring, sometime in April 1927. Flooded everywhere up and down the Mississippi River. Broke a lot of stuff, killed a lot of people. That got the Federales' attention. All of the geniuses in Congress and whatnot, they said, you know, we need to do something about this. And so they set about building levees on both sides of the river, all the way up and down the Mississippi River Valley.
Which saved a lot of lives, but also cut off the river's ability to overflow its banks and build land. The water sediment could no longer reach swamps and marshes. In other words, the levees severed the river from the wetlands. So 1927 is the year Al DeVernay begins telling the story of Louisiana's coast.
What I'd like to do is show some maps of this land loss issue.
Al is in his early 70s, strong and active with fierce blue eyes. He volunteers a lot with the Coalition to Restore Coastal Louisiana. One person there called him a super volunteer. He's the fix-it guy, the builder. Also, the one who gives presentations about land loss using these very maps, all zooming in on Buras, Louisiana, way down near the toe of Louisiana's boot.
So this is what it looked like in 1927. This is what it has looked like for probably 1,000 years, and it was a very nice place to live. Everything that you needed was right there. You've got cypress swamps, oak and black willow forest on the ridges, and fresh water near the river with goujons and blue catfish bigger than your leg. Now we move ahead 30 years, about a generation, okay?
Al pulls out his second map from 1960.
And it pretty much looks the same. I mean, you still, you know, you got the Mississippi River here, you got the Gulf of Mexico 8 miles away down there, and it still looks like a fairly healthy marsh. But what you will notice if you look closely is a bunch of straight lines now, canals. Open canals. So what happened between 1927 and 1960 is the oil and gas industry kicked in high gear, especially around World War II. So now we can actually float barges in and drill oil wells out in the marsh.
In order to extract oil as efficiently as possible, industry sliced and diced the marsh, says Al, a marsh he knows intimately.
And this is the time that I started playing. About 1960 is when I started playing in this marsh right here, specifically with my dad, cruising all around these bayous, exploring, fishing, and hunting, and like that. And pretty much every time I went down there, there was some barge dredging a canal. It was just constant.
Al pulls out his final map.
So we move ahead 30 years from this map right here to 1993.
Whoa
indeed.
Oh my God, like the land just disappeared.
The land just disappeared.
Poof.
There's basically nothing left of the marsh. So when we start talking about, you know, the land loss in the last 100 years and all that kind of stuff, not so fast, Padawan. This all happened in 30, 40 years. If I were to write a recipe book of how to destroy the wetlands, it would look like what we've done the last 50 years. Step one, turn off the sediment machine. Step two, slice and dice the marsh.
Step three, watch the land slip into water, and with it, a whole other level of loss, culture. Teresa Dardar lives at the bottom of the boot in Pointe aux Chenes, Louisiana.
Our ancestors always lived here. Our ancestors are buried here. We're part of this land.
Teresa's people, the Pointe aux Chenes Indian tribe, have sustained themselves in this fertile, bountiful place for as far back as memories go.
Our ancestors always lived off the land. They took care of the land because the land fed them, and it wasn't being abused like it is now. Now all they think about is what the land can give them, not to feed them, but to make them richer. I mean, anything, it seems like anything man touches ruins it.
But we have the ability to change that. How do you tell the story of Louisiana's coast? You start at the beginning with geology.
Once upon a time, Pangaea broke up, right? The continents moved.
That's next time on Wetlands Radio. Wetlands Radio was reported and produced by me, Eve Abrams. Editing help from Anne Gislason, Rosemary Westwood, Garrett Hazelwood, Rachel Berg, Melody Chang, Marie Lovejoy, and Lane Kaplan-Levinson. Original music was written and performed by Greg Schatz. Mastering by Evan Satanovich. Thanks to Franziska Troutman and Alex Kolker, who you also heard in this episode. Also, thanks to our partners, BitNEP, the Barataria Terrebonne National Estuary Program, and WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. Funding was provided by BitNEP through the Environmental Protection Agency's National Estuary Program. To hear all 12 episodes in Wetlands Radio, head to wwno.org or bitnep.org. That's btnep.org. Thanks for listening.